Hi, welcome to Evidence for Faith. It's your host, Michael Lane, and I have a really interesting lesson for you today. And it's entitled, Why Does Jesus Have Two Different Genealogies? As again, I deal a lot with apologetics. This is an apologetics ministry, and I've come across people who have questioned this. And many times it's Christians too who question this and the accuracy of this and trying to explain it. Now, why does Jesus have two genealogies? Actually, it's quite simple to figure out. For instance, I have two genealogies. One is my father's side, which can be traced back, I believe, to a pirate who lived in the Bahamas and eventually took a king's pardon and settled in North Carolina in the early 1700s. My other genealogy is my mother's side. Her name was Iona Levon Chaucer Wilson. Her family tree began as far back as we can trace it so far is into Normandy, France in 1625. And then around 1700, my mother's family migrated to Montreal and worked in the fur trade through Wisconsin and down to Mississippi. In 1725, the family bought a plot of land along the Mississippi River in what is today the city of St. Louis. Their homestead was located right where the famous arch stands today. So if you go there and you visit, that was actually my ancestors' house and home right there. In the early 1800s, the family moved to Shawneetown, Illinois. And then in 1811, John Chaucer purchased land just north of El Dorado, Illinois, and settled there. Having 13 children, he did have slaves and he had servants, bond servants. One of these slaves was named Barney Hargrave, who ended up suing my ancestor John for his freedom. Now, this case went to the Illinois Supreme Court in the year 1836, and Barney won his freedom and established something historic in Illinois, that Illinois was indeed a free state. That's what it came down to. It was established as a free state by the Illinois Supreme Court because of my ancestor. Then in 1875, my great-grandfather, his name was Welcome Chaucer, had my grandmother Lillian, who then had my mother, and then finally me. You see, genealogies are part of history, but you know, they can be so important. In biblical times, genealogies were very important to show the lineage of families. To the Israelites, it is still an important piece of their culture. Now, getting to the question, Jesus has two genealogies recorded in the Bible, and they are not identical. Neither are my mother and my father's. Skeptics and critics of the Bible, though, will use these two genealogies at times as evidence that the Bible can't be trusted. Because they're different, because they seem to contradict each other. Well, let's dispel this great contradiction right now, and you're going to see there's a very, very important reason for Jesus to have these two different genealogies. First of all, that Jesus has two different genealogies is common. Like I said, we all do. We have a genealogy from our mother and one from our father. So there is no reason to think that just because two genealogies are slightly different, we should throw our Bibles away. There are some similarities, of course, between Jesus and Jesus is a descendant of King David. Thus, up to David, they are similar in some cases from Abraham to David. But because of the differences after King David, if you look at these, that's where the critics had the problem. For instance, some names appear in both, but others are different. Now, it is not uncommon for Jews to use family names from previous generations. If you'll recall the story with John the Baptist being born, when the angel Gabriel told Zechariah to name him John, and when he finally was born, people were complaining and protesting because there was no John in Zechariah's family. So names were used frequently over and over throughout several generations. But because of differences people have problems, it seems like, with this, that these two genealogies, the one you see in Matthew and the one you see in Luke, they don't line up perfectly. Well, they're not supposed to. And actually, they serve a very important purpose. So let's examine these two genealogies. Now, you're going to have to just give me some grace here, because there are some honking weird names in this thing that are hard for me to get across. But we're going to start with the Matthew genealogy. This is in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew begins his gospel under the influence of the Holy Spirit by citing Jesus's genealogy. And we're going to read to verse 16. It begins, "The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abram. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Pezrah, the father of Hezron, and Hezron, the father of Ram, and Ram, the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab, the father of Nashon. Nashon was the father of Salem. Salem, the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David, the king. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife Uriah, and Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah, and Abijah, the father of Asaph. Asaph, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Joram. Joram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amos. Amos, the father of Josiah. Josiah, the father of Jeconiah, I'll get it right here, and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abiud. Abiud was the father of Eliakim. Eliakim was the father of Azor. Azor was the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Akim. Akim, the father of Eliud. Eliud was the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Matan. And Matan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who was called Christ." Whew. Yes, that was a lot of fun doing that. Anyway, Matthew's gospel, let's summarize this now. Matthew's gospel was written to show, showing how Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Matthew emphasized how the Messiah would be a Jewish king. If you noticed, after David, these were the kings of Judah. Thus, he begins his gospel with a genealogy, starting with Abraham, who was the first Hebrew of the nation. He follows the family line through David, followed by other kings of Judah, and concludes it with Jesus being born into the family of Mary and Joseph. But notice, and this is so important, Joseph is not called the father of Jesus. That's because God was his father. That is a major, major important item. Now, let's examine Luke's account. And this gets even more fun. So looking in Luke chapter 3, verses 23 through 28, here we go again. Now, this one's going to be in like reverse. We're going to start with Jesus this time and go back in time. So here we go. Starting in verse 23. "Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son of, as was supposed, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Matan, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Jenani, the son of Joseph, the son of Matthias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Maath, the son of Matthias, the son of Simeon, the son of Jelsek, the son of Yoda, the son of Johanan, the son of Resa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melki, the son of Adai, the son of Kasem, the son of El-Madam, the son of the son of Joshua, the son of Eliezer, the son of Jorim, the son of Matat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Meliah, the son of Menah, the son of Mattatha, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salah, the son of Nashon, the son of Amiadab, the son of Admin, the son of Arni, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abram, the son of Teron, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Now that will wake you up in the morning trying to say that. Anyway, Luke, you notice that it goes all the way to Adam in this one. This is so cool because Luke is telling us that Jesus is a descendant of the first man. Anyway, Luke wrote his gospel under the influence of the Holy Spirit and shows the readers that the Messiah would be a human Messiah. He would be both God, as it says here, the Son of God. He would be both God and man in a very unique and beyond human comprehensive way. Notice that his genealogy goes all the way back to Adam, who was the very first man. Many early Christian writers all claim that this was Mary's genealogy. And we know, because Luke tells us when he starts writing his gospel, that Luke researched his facts. In other words, he interviewed people. We know he did this because he told us to make sure that everything he was writing was indeed true and factual. He often included names of people. Why? For people to check the accuracy of what he was saying. Here in Luke, Jesus's genealogy begins with his family and, as was supposed, his legal father, Joseph. Remember, Jesus, his father is God. Joseph is his legal father who adopts him. Now, readers notice that the names are not the same as in Matthew's account that we find in Luke until you get King David mentioned, because Luke makes it very, very, very clear that Jesus is a descendant of King David, but Solomon and the kings were not in his line. But another son of David, whose name was Nathan, just so happened, Nathan, Solomon's brother, they both had the mother Bathsheba. We know that Bathsheba was the mother of Solomon and Nathan. And so in Luke's genealogy, the son of David that Jesus is a descendant of is Nathan. We can see this in 1 Chronicles 3:5. But continuing, we've cleared up the supposed contradiction of the two different genealogies. I mean, it's very simple. One's Mary's, Luke's is Mary's, and then Matthew is Joseph's. But we're left with another question. Why Mary's genealogy is not traceable to the kings of Judah? Jehoshaphat, Ahaz, Jotham, Josiah, none of those are in Mary's genealogy because her ancestor was Nathan, not Solomon, son of David. So this gets very interesting and it's really fascinating. And a lot of people, I have found very few people who really understand this. So I am very glad to be able to bring this to you. And it has to do with a prophecy and it has to do with a curse. To understand this, one must first understand that the legal right to rule, to be the king, always came through the father's side. To rule It was from your father. And this was true even in Jesus' case, because he was legally Joseph's elder son, though, as we said, he was adopted because God was his father. Now, to fulfill the prophecy concerning the Messiah, Jesus would have to be three things. One, he has to be a descendant in the bloodline of David. Many prophecies saying that, and that's why one of the titles of Jesus is Son of David. Second, he has to be in the line of the kings, which he is. You have all the different kings in Matthew's account. Third, he has to be adopted into this kingship line. And this is where we're going to get into it. This is the important part of this whole lesson here. You see, Luke's genealogy proves that Jesus was in the bloodline of David. I think everyone can see that. Matthew's genealogy records that Jesus is in the lines of the kingship through his adoption by Joseph. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Here is the problem. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 24, and it starts and runs from verse 8 to verse 17, it is recorded that one of David's descendants, the last blood king, Jehoiakim, the last blood descendant of King David who ruled on the throne of Judah, he was the last one. And there's a curse here with this. Nebuchadnezzar has him replaced, removes him from being the king. When Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians took over, he replaced him. That ended the divinic line of having one of David's descendants on the throne. And because he replaced him, this is Nebuchadnezzar, replaced him with his uncle Zedekiah, not in the bloodline of the kings. And we read this in 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 17. We read, "And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, Jeconiah's uncle, king in his place and changed his name to Zedekiah." Not only that, but because Jehoiakim was so evil. I mean, this guy even burned a book, the book of Jeremiah, cutting off a page at a time of the scroll, and he would throw it in a pot and burn it. This guy is evil. You want to know about that? Just read Jeremiah chapter 36. Even so, Jehoiakim, even though he was in the king line, he was the last royal king, the royal line ended with him because God proclaims a curse because he's so evil. Get this, Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 30. Did you know that this is the key as to why Matthew's genealogy reads the way it is? Here we go. "Thus says the Lord, write this man," this is talking about Jehoiakim, "write this man down as childless, a man who shall not succeed in his days. None of his offspring shall succeed in sitting on the throne of David and ruling again in Judah." Boom. Did you know that was there in Scripture? That God put a curse upon the line of David because of how evil they were, and said that the king, this Jehoiakim, will no longer be the king, that his descendants will not become part of the king either, of the bloodline. God cursed the bloodline from here on and said, "No, I'm not going to stand for this anymore." So because of his sins, Jehoiakim was indeed the last blood king through David's line of Solomon to be the king. He was succeeded on the throne of David, not by his own son, Nebuchadnezzar had those killed, but by his uncle, Zedekiah. And again, we read in 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 17, just to make sure everybody's got this, "The king of Babylon made Mattaniah, Jehoiakim's uncle, king in his place, changed his name to Zedekiah." Now, what are we saying here? It appears that Satan was trying to defeat God in breaking the royal line of God's promise to David that the Messiah would be born through his lineage and that he would be able to be called King of the Jews and have an eternal reign. Satan is constantly trying to defeat Jesus, and it seemed like he won a battle here, that he stopped the royal line. It seems like Satan won. can't defeat God. I mean, yes, the royal line did end. Not one of Jehoiakim's descendants would rule on the throne of David after him, thus making it appear impossible for the Messiah to come from David's lineage. Do you see this? But no, you don't defeat God. Luke shows us that Mary is a descendant of King David. You see, there's no contradiction in the Bible here, but it does show how God defeated Satan. If Jesus had been the literal son of Joseph, he could never lay claim to the throne of David because of God's curse. He would be under the curse. Yet, this is so cool, yet because he was still the legal son of Joseph through adoption, he inherited the right to rule, not through the bloodline, but through adoption. For he was not then under the curse that had been passed down to everyone born of the royal line since the days of Jehoiakim. Yet, Luke proves with his genealogy of Mary that Jesus was indeed a descendant of King David. Isn't that cool? Satan seemed to have won a major victory only to be defeated because Mary also is in the royal line of King David. Though none of the kings in her genealogy, none of those kings are her ancestors, thus she is not under the curse. But she fulfills Jesus's the prophecy that Jesus is a descendant of King David. Joseph, by adopting him, he is now in the bloodline, but Jesus couldn't be in the bloodline before because it was cursed. Isn't that cool? And like I say, a lot of people I have found don't understand this because I get asked a lot about this. So I hope you've enjoyed this lesson, and I want you to turn in for some more of these apologetic things we're doing here, because this is just fascinating stuff to me. And I hope you enjoyed this. And right now I'm recording this down in the Florida Keys in the Marine Biology program, and we're having a great time down here with these kids. They're awesome. And I'll tell you, if God puts it upon your heart to pray for us and help us in this ministry, we so need that. And also, if God puts it upon your heart to help us in our ministry financially, we really covet that also. But in either way, please pray for us. And until we meet again, take care and may God bless.